Welcome to Beauty 4.0, Decoding the Business of Beauty, a podcast by Cosmetic Design. We take you inside for a close-up of the innovations and innovators behind the beauty and personal care industry and find out just how they are shaping its future. On this episode, I'm speaking with Jason Lee, the founder of Scent by Six, on his experience with US-based retailer Schofields and how its consumer-first approach to retail will help brands tackle the future retail challenges from rising labor costs to the emergence of the metaverse. You want to know something, Jason?
Yes.
You are officially the first person I've interviewed more than once for a podcast.
Really? all thanks to you.
Thank you for agreeing to come on again. Maybe we'll convince more people to accept my invite the first time.
It's always good to catch up with you, you know, whether it is an interview or, you know, just a catch up.
You know, today we're here to talk about everyone's favorite cardio, shopping. And shopping in its purest form, the brick and mortar kind. And I'm speaking to you about it because at the end of last year, Scent by Six hosted a pop-up at what many people have described to me as like the greatest store on earth, Schofields. And even you called it Wonderland. You called it Shopping Wonderland.
And that's right, yeah.
For the benefit with the people who don't know, you know, could you tell them what Schofields is? You know, what makes it such a great retail space and what attracted you to want to host a pop-up there?
It is really a very amazing multi-label store. You know, when I entered the entire space, it feels like, you know, you have entered a Wonderland. You know, Alice in Wonderland, honestly. Every single part of the store, it makes you want to pause, you want to slow down, and to take Insta-worthy, you know, pictures. It's amazing because when I was there, you know, you realize how different brands from different categories, from different industries can be put together in the same space in such a congruent manner. They pay a lot of attention in making sure that, you know, the entire customer journey from the moment you enter the store, the first brand you look at and the way you flow within the space of that brand, and when you exit from that brand, you move on to the next brand. The entire flow is just very captivating. It makes you want to continue this journey through the store from level one all the way up to level four. And it's hard to imagine how by putting effort to pay attention to certain details in the store that can slow down your pace. So, you know, New York, you know, everyone knows this is such a dynamic, high energy city. You know, people are always on the go. They are always rushing from one place to another. But it is amazing to find a space that you can finally relax. And, you know, you enter the space and you just realize that, hey, I'm like in another city within New York. And you want to slow down, you want to settle down, and you want to pay attention to understand the brand story, the unique brand story of each brand.
Yeah, and every brand, these brands change all the time, right?
Yeah, so I understand from my communication with Schofields that you cannot have a permanent space at the store, so it's always transient on the duration between 4 months to a year. I think we do see some brands who are, you know, doing well, and I understood from them that they have, you know, done a stint of as long as 1 year.
Okay, right. But they can come back anytime, I guess.
I guess when you have a certain, you know, new offerings, or if you have revamped certain parts of your brand, that will, you know, give the whole rationale of a new pop-up, you know, a new rationale.
Very good approach to retail, isn't it?
Yes.
And you hold the pop-up. Is it still ongoing or is it over already?
We extended the pop-up. So beyond the four-month mark, we were given the choice to extend. And, you know, I think the right way to go is to really carry on, because I think, you know, with sustained support from our customers in US, in New York, it makes it makes sense to just extend and to see, you know, how else we can go beyond this you know, entire duration, where else we can go in the space of New York or even in other cities of United States.
You were there for a while at the start, so could you tell me a bit more about the brand's experience at Schofield?
So I think I wanted to start off by talking about my experience before going to Schofield, because, you know, well, ultimately I think this was really something that I have hoped for after my visit to Schofield in January 2022. I came back, I did the math, and I told the team that we were ready to give this a shot of our own. Then, you know, amazingly, I received a call, a random call from an Enterprise Singapore officer. And, you know, we were asked if we were interested to join them in a four-month pop-up at Schofield, New York City. So fast forward, you know, the entire selection process took 2 months, and we were very grateful to be invited to join 9 other Singapore brands in this endeavor. The entire preparation, I must really thank Enterprise Singapore, because, you know, we were all given very good support, and, you know, even a brand design and a branding workshop before going to the States. So I think this is a very serious attempt to make sure that the brands know what we are in for, to also prepare us for a different market in the States, different consumers, different users, and of course also to plan how are we going to curate our brands together in a Singapore space at Schofield. So this was an amazing experience when we were there, you know, operations, when we set up you know, the individual spaces, that was smooth, and I must say that we are very grateful. We have learned a lot, you know, in relation to how customers have, you know, received or perceive our products. And, you know, certainly, I think customers in the US, they are very diverse, and they appreciate diversity as well. So inclusivity, diversity, sustainability, these narratives, I'm very, very clear that the consumers in the States, they are very serious about that. So it is not just about, you know, greenwashing or whitewashing your narratives. And yeah, then I am really, you know, what you want to pursue. But I think the customers, the consumers there, they deep dive into the details. So they make an effort to understand the brand inside out to make sure that, you know, the brands are pitching and they are talking about something that they mean, yeah, they're serious about.
Walk the talk, basically.
Yes. So they are even more discerning as compared to, I would say, a majority of Singapore customers. I would say that, you know, in Singapore, we are already very well traveled, and, you know, the younger generations, they are quite well informed, and they care a lot about different causes in society, in the world. But in the US, I think, I guess, you know, the effort to go deeper into this support, more focal, and also I think when you are, you know, in such a diverse environment, then obviously I think you are more exposed, you have also have more avenues to find out more about the relevant brands and the companies, etc.
And, you know, have you gleaned any insights from your time there that you have brought back to your own retail stores, perhaps?
Yes, you know, of course, certainly. And what really came up first on my mind is in relation to customer journey. And this is really what Schofield is all about. Being, when I say Alice in Wonderland, you know, you are expected to have unexpected surprises along the way, you know, all the way until when you reach the top of the building at Soho. Well, you have two options to get back down to the exit. One would be to take the elevator, slowly go down again, or you take a playground slide to slide down. I think I want to emphasize the kind of ability of showfields to put together brands from different narratives, from different categories. It's amazing how they can coexist together in the on the same level, in the same space, and you don't find that, you know, it is awkward. When you visit a store in, say, a departmental store, usually it is quite clinical, right? It's very fragmented. You have men's, women's, and then you have your sports, your kids, and then each and every individual brands are categorized by pricing, right? You have the more mass market brands at one corner, and then you have a more upmarket brands you know, at one corner. So you can see the distinction, and it's easy to do that. It's not difficult. Now the challenge comes when you have to marry different brand narratives together. And it's not just one brand. So on each floor, you have at least about 7 to 8 brands. So the challenge is how you're going to put these 8 guys together and to make sense of it. Imagining that you are a customer entering the store, you flow from one brand to another, and how do you feel as a customer? And on top of that, I think what I wanted to also emphasize is when I'm speaking from my own experience as a customer in January last year when I visited the store. Each and every store attendant, the ambassadors, they are very knowledgeable in relation to each brand's narratives, the brand story, products.
And they are not from the brand, right? They're from Showfields itself.
They're just from Showfields. Yeah. So you can see the kind of involvement.
Mm.
The dedication and the depth of each, you know, ambassador. And this is something that I think in Singapore's context, you know, in relation to the retail industry, what our retail force should aspire to be. Because it goes beyond just standing around and promoting the products. But hey, you know, I think the ability to tell stories, the ability to go beyond what a retail manager or an associate should do, I think that is important, especially when, you know, in Singapore, well, in my opinion, I think in 20, 30 years down the road, I think we will continue to ride on this trajectory to be a high-cost, high-tech, and high-wage society in future. And with that, you know, labor is always going to be a challenge. It'll be an issue that we have to learn how to manage. Whether you are in the retail industry, whether you are in the F&B industry, we have to learn how to grapple with that. And so what do you do when you have less people to manage? I think you have to be very, very smart in trying to upskill and reskill them in certain ways that will make retail reimagined in future.
You know, I mean, nowadays, brands are having less retail space. Not many independent brands have retail spaces, and you have multiple in, as you've put it, a very expensive city, right? You know, what makes it all worthwhile to you?
You are really right, you know, when you say that. And, you know, but rather than merely looking at the face value of the rental figure, you know, I know of many of my counterparts, people in the retail industry, they are complaining about, oh yeah, you know, it's gonna be increased again, you know, there's inflation. And I think we should look beyond that and to see how these spaces can add value to the longer journey to our business. I think, you know, looking at just numbers, yeah, I think it's an issue that we have to manage. But more importantly is the rationale of this space in the long run. So it is not just about the short-term tangible values, but the long-term intangible values to the people who matters. And when I say that, I think that goes beyond just the customers. So sometimes, you know, we do actually invite, you know, the people who are less advantaged, especially when we co-create fragrances with them. So we invite them to our spaces in a very comfortable cocoon that we have, especially the one at our flagship at 313 Somerset. It was created with mental wellness in mind. So when they come, I hope that, you know, they will slow down, they will feel comfortable, they will feel secure, and to be in a safe space to co-create something that matters. And, you know, when you see priceless smiles from someone who is suffering from severe depression, can you really quantify that with money? That's the question I think we ought to ask ourselves.
Like, you know your VivoCity outlet, right?
Yes.
I knew you were there before you opened your store. Or you told me you opened your store because I was coming around the corner when I caught a whiff of 27 degrees.
Yes.
And I was like, either someone is wearing the perfume or Jason got a new store. And sure enough, there your store
Jason's
was,
got
right?
a new store. Yes. Well, yes, I'm happy that, you know, this is something that you can distinguish, you can smell. But I'm happy that, you know, we are able to also complement you know, other brands are serving around us. So we just want to create a good
space at the end for ecosystem. Everybody, right? Because it's not
That's
just
right.
it's not just you,
yes.
but it's like
yes, it's, yeah. and it's wonderful. I think, you know, we want to recognize that we are all different and we want to encompass differences and celebrate it in a good local community here in Singapore.
Well, so I guess I want to move on and talk about if you have any thoughts okay, I think you touched on it a little bit, but do you have any thoughts in musing about the future of retail in a more general sense, not just in the context of Singapore?
All of us, we have always think about retail being just, you know, having an omni-channel space and, you know, having to grapple with a shortage of manpower, you know, high rental. But you're very right. I think we should open up the scope and to widen our perspectives. To me, I think the future of retail is really about being sustainable. And it is not just about being sustainable in relation to hardware. When I say hardware, that means, you know, the products you use, the packaging, the spaces, how you save energy. Well, that's good. I think it is important. But more importantly, I think, you know, the software, the humans behind your business, behind retail, is even more important. Things like mental health, you know, your state of mind, and I've mentioned about the importance of upskilling, staying relevant to be on track with fast-moving trends. Right now, we are talking about, you know, moving on to the metaverse, and the speed at which we should be educating ourselves to catch up will just get faster and faster. And I think I do really worry about, you know, some of the less advantaged in society. How are they going to catch up? Right? And of course, you know, that will lead to my next point, which is about how we can all reimagine retail in the metaverse. Now, by the year 2030, the combined purchasing power of Generation Z together with Alpha Generation, that will exceed that of other generations. And this is a very strong and powerful statement that I've read somewhere on a consultancy report. When that happens, you know, how are we then able to communicate with the future generation when, you know, you have the majority of the younger generations now very entrenched in the metaverse already, playing Roblox, having avatars.
I just saw it recently with Bondi, that new app, right?
Like, there you go.
Jumping yeah.
And now so many apps are empowering us to beautify our avatars. And this is really, you know, something that is quite fast moving, in my opinion. I think it's really worrying to see how many retailers, if you are able or not able to catch up and to capture the attention of the new generation. Now we are at the year of 2023, and that's just a mere 7 years.
It's really interesting that you're saying that, because you're talking about Generation Alpha and how old are they right now, right? And you're already thinking about how to capture.
We have to. I have to put ourselves in the minds of the new generation. Now it may seem like, hey, it's so weird. You're trying to get into the minds of your own children. Well, as a father of four, yeah, my eldest, he is 7 years old. But yes, this is serious because, hey, now he's seven. In 7 years' time, he's 14. By 14, he's very well learned, he's aware, he can move about, he will absorb everything like a sponge. Another 7 years, he'll be 21. Out of army, going on to university, and hey, another 7 years down the road, he'll be earning money, he'll be buying BTOs, and so on and so forth. So the question is, businesses, you have lag times to prepare your hardware. And more importantly, the software. Hardware, yes, you know, with financial resources, with good suppliers, you can definitely get yourself equipped. But the important part is, can you get your team, whom you trust, to trust you and also get out of the comfort zone to see the future? Because really, I think in 7 years time, years down the road, the way we communicate would be very different. And, you know, if we don't start now, how are we going to retain our team and our workers? So we have to take this very seriously and not to procrastinate. So, you know, narratives about being to upskill, to reskill, it is very important because ultimately, the issue about labor, in my opinion, is always going to be something that we have to manage, as I've mentioned. Mm-hmm. Rather than going head-on with this issue, more importantly, I think it is to find a sustainable solution. And this is what I mean by, you know, being sustainable in the software.
So you're not just always trying to catch up, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's difficult. It's difficult. And I can tell you, year in, year out, you are still going to see the same issue, shortage. And you, on the other hand, you may not be able to see the benefits of, technology empowerment on your workforce. But again, I think that takes time. We have to really start with a plan and stick to the plan. So in short, I think, you know, instead of always trying to provide better solutions to address immediate issues, we need to constantly ask ourselves better questions.
Critical questions, right. Yes.
Critical questions. And adjust the way you see issues, the way you see the market. Because ultimately, it's not just about Singapore. It is about the market outside of Singapore. And that should be the mindset that many Singapore brands and companies should be minded about.
Fantastic. Well said. Well, Jason, you know, I've known Six long before I met you, even long before I started at Cosmetic Design. I remember very clearly picking up my very first 27 degrees BA at some boutique in Plaza Singapura.
Yes.
And I was just thinking about it that day, actually, that it was actually my first experience with a genderless fragrance all those years ago. And your brand has always been one of those at the forefront. And I think even today you are, you know, Six has evolved so much from when I first met your brand and even when I first met you. Today you are using fragrance as a tool to help and support people who have been overlooked by society with three collections now, right? Developed to aid our mental health, our emotional health. You're clearly very passionate about it. And I don't think I have to say much about what you do because what you do really speaks for itself. You know, actions speak louder than words. But I would be remiss not to bring up the wonderful work you and your team are doing.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate the kind words, and you know, just wanted to say something. It's not just about, you know, being at the forefront. I think Singapore brands, well, Singapore market is a small market. So, you know, to me, I think more importantly is how, as a collective of Singapore brands, how we can help each other to move out of Singapore. That's even more important. So instead of just having help and support from the government, but the community, the retail community, it should be a very congruent one so that we can help each other and not to look at each other like, you know, they are your competitors and we should be guarded. I think, no, all in all, that will be a lose-lose situation for all of us. When we are united, we are able to put our resources together, ideas together. When we go out as, you know, Singapore, that would be so powerful.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, thanks so much, Jason. Yeah. Those are really wonderful closing words, very powerful closing words. So let's see if we can get you back in the hot seat again and make it a podcast hat trick, all right?
Always happy to be here. Yes. Thank you for having me.
This has been Beauty 4.0, Decoding the Business of Beauty, a podcast by Cosmetics Design, bringing you the inside stories on the innovations and innovators behind the beauty industry.